Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. If you can't make our live show, grab our audio-only version. Find it on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps, as well as Facebook podcasts.
Tonight, we're here in the metaverse.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. On all the blockchains. All the NFTs, will mint them. Hello, Matt Evans. How are you doing tonight?
Hello. Good. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just trying to get that in there before looking at Tim.
Hey, you got to mint those NFTs while the NFT minting is good.
Yes.
We'll mint all of our broadcasts.
Welcome.
Also tonight with us is Roy Slipinski. Hey, Roy.
Good evening.
We also have Tim Van Claveren. Hey, Tim.
Greetings.
Can we get an episode of Cooking with Tim in the metaverse? Can your own kitchen? Like, you could have your own kitchen where you do your own cooking show. You could even go to Walmart, the virtual Walmart, and pick up your virtual ingredients.
What if we start a GoFundMe and you get like $20 in the GoFundMe? Will you do a Cooking with Tim episode in the metaverse?
I'll donate the $20 right there.
I'll donate $20 as well.
I'll also donate $20.
That's nice. $60 to do an episode of Cooking with Tim in the metaverse
and enjoy it.
Think or at least act like you do. You
all the virtual ingredients.
We've got to go to Walmart first. Let's overspend our money sitting in the car waiting for our groceries.
You can get a virtual oil change while you're virtually shopping at Walmart.
Yeah.
I accidentally bought a 4K TV. Oh no.
The metaverse is infinite, but this podcast is not. And directing this non-infinite podcast is Joseph Meacham. Hey, Joseph.
What's up, gamers? That transition was nasty. Where'd that come from? Yeah. That was so good.
I'm just so excited. I'm erupting with metaverse puns and we'll continue with that later at the end of the show. We'll wrap
the creative
back
juices
around.
Have dried up.
I was just thinking about Mark Zuckerberg jokes, and I was like, nobody wants those. So what are we talking about tonight, guys? What is on the docket?
Blue bubbles versus green bubbles.
Which I didn't think was as big of a thing as apparently it is. Because how many views does MKBHD have on that video? It's some insane.
He has a lot of views. I mean, so and to be fair, like, it's a long video, but he goes in to explain basically what blue bubbles and boot. It's got $2.5 million views in 7 days. So I mean, that's pretty impressive. But so it is kind of a longer video, but he kind of goes in and talks about what blue bubbles are, what green bubbles are, because if you're actually on a Pixel device and you're using Google Messages on any of your Android devices, which is standard on a lot, you'll see blue bubbles when you talk to Android users too. But, you know, you'll have, I don't think it's a blue. Is it blue or is it? It's like green. A lighter blue, I think, in there. Let me go back to when I was talking before. I was talking to Roy because I was talking
it's
to him.
It's like a grayer version of
it's blue. It's like a grayish blue tone when you talk to him. But when you're connected and you're going through RCS, which is basically the new standard. So he talks about what SMS is, which is, you know, basic standard text messages that's sent through the data network and stuff like that. And then he talks about MMS, which is multimedia, because we wanted to send GIFs and pictures and that type of things, you know. And those are two of the main standards of communicating back in the day. And RCS, which is kind of a newer version, which, you know, allows you to add more content, add more things. You don't get like your messages don't group into several different messages. Now, they don't necessarily do that on iPhone. If you text with somebody on an Android phone now, Apple, you know, groups them all together and can tell when there's multiple messages. But before, you would text somebody, you know, on like one of those old flip phones or something, it would say message one of two.
Mm-hmm. 160 characters.
Yeah, basically it's 160 characters, and then it would generate them in multiple different messages, and you'd have to go through and read through them and try and determine them. So it's a little different, but RCS is the new, what they're calling the new standard across the board, and all the carriers have adopted to it. Google has adopted to it, except for obviously Apple hasn't adopted to it and still uses SMS and MMS, which I mean, at the same time, like I understand Apple's point of view on that, but at the same point, like it's kind of the same as iMessage, what it is. You know, it gives you read receipts. You can like a message, you know, and put a thumb, like a like next to it. Right now, if you like a message on somebody who sent somebody from Android, or excuse me, iOS likes a message on that somebody from an Android, it just puts, you know, so-and-so liked, and then it puts the message in quotes and sends it back to them.
Which was so super weird the first time I saw it. I didn't understand what was going on.
So essentially, RCS, which would be the new standard, would allow you to basically receive and send text messages versus that.
And it's end-to-end encrypted.
And it's end-to-end encrypted. So so that's kind of basically what he kind of goes over what it is and how it affects things, you know. He does talk about it that it's primarily a U.S. thing, you know. A lot of people in other countries use different messaging apps like WhatsApp, you know, Signal, what's the other ones out there?
Telegram,
you know, those are all different messaging apps, and a lot of people just use that. But you know, iMessage has kind of become the standard in the US if you own an iPhone, and a lot of people buy iPhones because of that. So that's kind of
nobody in America wants to download another app. They want what's built into the iPhone. Why should I have to download Telegram when I have messages right here built into my phone? And MKBHD very plainly says that if you go to other countries in the world, that's not an issue. They'll use Signal, they'll use Telegram. That here in America, we are just so set in our ways that we refuse to download a second app for it. I don't blame them. I like the idea of just being able to use what's built onto my phone. I shouldn't have to buy a second app. I do 100% agree with MKBHD in his stance of, as much as I enjoy Apple and I love iMessage, and iMessage is one of the main reasons I like staying on iPhone, this little foray into Android that I'm doing right now, I miss my iMessage. I really do. But he's absolutely right that they're obviously Apple has its business reasons about why it wants to keep things the way that it is. But it's stupid that Apple has not adopted RCS at the same time.
Well, and it goes back to partially kind of what our second topic is going to be, the Apple versus Epic. But one of the things that came out during the lawsuit was, essentially, why do they not make an iMessage version before RCS was around for iPhone or for Android? And the reason that it was, and I don't know who it was, Phil Schuller or Tim Cook, like, why would we create an iMessage version for Android when people buy an iPhone for iMessage to talk to people? So people do, like, they're absolutely... Apple is 100% right that people buy an iPhone for iMessage, you know, and it is one of the most adopted features on the iPhone that people look forward to when they download it, because it's just there too. And I think of it in two different ways, because, you know, one, it's end-to-end encryption, and MKBHD talks about this too, is that it's privacy. Like SMS and MMS are not private. Like, they're not end-to-end encryption, you know, and Apple is really big on privacy. So, you know, if Apple really wants to be the privacy company, then they should really adapt to RCS, which is end-to-end encryption on both ends. So, you know, your text messages can't be routed differently and stuff like that, you know, it can't be read. So, you know, I'm sure the government has some things to say about that too, but, you know.
What is it that you think, that you guys think prevents Apple from switching over to RCS?
Because people, so MKBHD also has a podcast called Waveform, and he talked about this on his podcast as well. And I was going to bring this up just a second ago. Yeah, this was a great segue. A lot of the industry is accusing Apple of using bullying techniques as a way to sell phones. Now, Apple themselves are not the ones that are bullying anybody, but you have people who don't want to message people who have green bubbles because it breaks the group chat, because it breaks the group chat on iMessage. So you have people who are, by pure pressure, trying to get their significant others, their friends, their family members to get on iOS because iMessage works better if everybody's using it. And it is because of that pure pressure that, you know, the whole blue bubble versus green bubble, the green bubble phobia, that is helping sell iPhones. And that's what MKBHD is coming out and saying in his podcast. And I will be 100% honest. I think that to an extent, there's a lot of truth to this. You know, Apple sells iPhones from iMessage. And the reason they sell iMessage is so popular is because it works so well together. And if you have people who are like, oh, I don't want to message you, you have a green bubble. There was somebody that I saw on TikTok like a year ago. They went on a Tinder, or they were on Tinder, and they were going through and DMing on Tinder, and they exchanged numbers. And the second the person saw that they were a green bubble, cut off all communication.
It's
the bullying is real.
I've gotten it's bullied funny, on this it's... podcast for using Android all the time.
So it's funny. Let me touch on two different things. First, you just touched on that. But when I met my wife, I asked her whether she had an iPhone or an Android phone.
Oh, Lord.
And it's the only reason is because it's the ecosystem, though. And I'm dedicated into this ecosystem, you know, and it wasn't necessarily the green bubbles that was my breaking point. But it was like, you know, she owned a MacBook. She owned an iPhone. She, I think, had an Apple TV. I don't think she had, but anyways, it was the Apple ecosystem, though. I wanted somebody who is familiar with the Apple ecosystem, because I am dedicated to the Apple ecosystem. HomePods, iPads, Apple Watch, MacBooks, like, that's what I know. So anyways, that was that part. And then, but the other thing too, and, they talk about this on the Waveform, I think it was, but they talk about it, that, you know, Google is saying that Apple is bullying things, but he mentions, and he thinks, and he
not
says
that Apple specifically is doing the bullying.
No.
They're more or less condoning it because they're not doing anything about it.
But he said the same thing. He said, if the roles were reversed, and, you know, Google, Apple was trying to push RCS and Google had iMessage, it would be the same way. Google would say,
absolutely.
People are buying it, you know, and it's the same way. So, you know, it's a fight, you know, and it's a fight that's going to go on for a long time.
Google is offering all of their stuff for free. Like,
RCS
cost of iMessage is huge because you have to buy expensive Apple products.
Well, and here's the thing. We saw FaceTime come to Android phones, not via a native app, but you can actually join a FaceTime conversation via a link out there. I think that that is a push in the right direction. I think that overall that Apple is going to have to eventually adopt to this. There's two ways that I feel like this is going to happen. It's SMS and MMS are going to become discontinued, and no phone carriers are going to support it, which, I don't see that happening anytime soon, but it could happen down the line 4 or 5 years from now. We could see the end of SMS and MMS, and RCS being adopted, and Apple would be forced to do that in order to make it work. And then the second thing is that, Apple has a lot of pressure on them right now overall, from, the lawsuit that's going on to the antitrust lawsuits and stuff like that, that I think that I could see them adopting this in the future and trying to sell. I'm sure that Apple is working on a way to adopt it, but they're trying to figure out how to way to still continue to sell iPhones using iMessage. So what could they do better with iMessage to be able to market it better so that people continue to buy iPhones for iMessage, but continue to support that type of feature?
That's exactly.
We could still see green bubbles on iPhone versus Android, but you would have an RCS. You'd still have RCS implemented instead of SMS. So, iMessage or blue bubbles would be exclusive to people who are on an iPhone. Green bubbles would be exclusive to people on other phones, so that process kind of wouldn't go away, but you would still see like the send receive receipts, it would still be end-to-end encryption.
You're kind of saying that there's SMS and MMS now, and RCS is a more advanced version of those, and that will filter into iMessage while still having all the functionality that iMessage has. It's just the underpinning messaging system that iMessage currently has, which is MMS and SMS, could be replaced by RCS, but it'd still work the same as iMessage.
Just interoperate with
other messages.
And then, like, Apple has other things, like avatars you can use, which are called Mi emojis. They have games that are in there. Like, I was actually going to try and play a game with Roy today. Over MNS, and I was like, I can't, because he's on. I was getting ready to send it to him, and then I was like, oh shit, I can't do that because he's on an Android phone. So I was really disappointed in that. But
for those of you who don't understand, we could play pool in the messaging app against each other.
Yeah, we could play pool.
Facebook profile where like games show up on your feed.
No, it's literally in the message.
It's very similar to that. It's very similar to that, but it's built into messages. So every time like we play, I play and then I send the game to him, and then it shows up for him, and then he sends it back to me, and then back and forth, and stuff like that. So I think we could see more integration from that. I think more integration from FaceTime and stuff like that, because FaceTime is still very popular, out there for things. You can share music and songs with people inside iMessage. I don't know how many people do that. I don't do it, but some people might. It's funny, you can send your heartbeat to your loved one on
your literal heartbeat. It takes your pulse from your Apple Watch.
Yeah. You basically hold down your thing, it takes your pulse, and then it sends them it, and then they can feel your pulse.
I don't know if Tim's actually falling asleep over there or playing.
I was gonna ask a question that includes Tim, because you've used iPhones, you played around with iMessage, you and your wife got to use it. Like, Tim, first, I'm going to ask you the question, like, what is it about iMessage that, if anything, that would make you want to go back to iOS? And then same question for Roy and Matt.
The other question I have to ask, too, is does Zoe bully you into getting an iPhone so you can use iMessage?
No. It's definitely like Imus. Like, I would love to. The thing I enjoyed about using the iPhone was iMessage, being able to see if a message was received, seen. Sending the Mii emojis was stupid, but that was pretty fun to do. I personally, probably, if I were to get another phone, it would probably be Apple, because also just with her having an Apple Watch, just seeing everything that she's done on an Apple Watch.
Apple Watch makes it so much better. So much better. Oh my gosh. I cannot begin to tell you how much I miss my iPhone and my Apple Watch right now. The struggle is real. Hashtag first world problems.
But yeah, I mean, iMessage is pretty cool. I would say I've used like other messengers, like it's similar. I would say it's similar to other messengers out there. I don't
like, maybe RCS.
It works. So using messages on Android, like sending messages, like to my brother, he has an Android phone, and so it's nice to be able to see when he receives it. It has that little cool lock in the bottom corner saying that it's encrypted. It makes you feel special. And I mean, those are nice features. That's all the features that I've needed on a phone. I mean, I've never played pool or anything like that ever.
So one of the things that I think that, and Apple is 100% ready to steal this, idea, but it's used in a lot of business situations and stuff like that. Email is really old and stuff like that, but if you could send calendar invites via, you know, iMessage to people, like, I feel like that would be a good way to integrate calendars and stuff like that. Like, send your calendar availability to somebody via iMessage, you know, to somebody who has an iPhone. Like, that could be that could be a good integration, you know. These are the times I'm available, pick it, and it schedules an appointment, and then automatically a virtual assistant, you know, puts it in there.
Yeah, there many people have work phones that are iPhones.
Yeah.
So much sense.
There was one thing that I just completely remembered. When Zoe was sick, we got a lot of people brought us dinners, and I remember I was using the iPhone at the time, and one family sent me on iMessage their location, and it was like a real-time Apple map of where they were located.
Roy did that to me. Roy did that to me when he was on his way down here this last weekend. So I walked out as soon as he was getting off the freeway, and I was literally out there.
It's like the coolest thing ever. That was is that with only Apple Maps, or is that just iMessage?
It's with Apple Maps, yeah.
Apple Maps.
I use it anytime Matt and I are meeting up, or anytime I'm headed back to meet my wife and it's time sensitive. Like, she's like, you know, I gotta go somewhere by a certain time, and I know I'm running late, and she needs to know like when I'm gonna be home so she can be out ready to go in the car so I can take the kids from her. Like, she had to go get herself COVID tested the other day, and it was a drive through. She could have taken the kids, but you know, it's a hassle. And I ended up getting out of work probably about 10 minutes later than I really wanted to, and she's like, how far away from home are you? And I'm like, bam, share my ETA. You can see exactly where I'm at on my way home, so you know whether or not you need to just go with the kids or whether you can be outside waiting for me or whatnot. But that's not an iMessage thing. That's an Apple Maps thing, just to clarify that. Yeah. For me, RCS does 99% of what I like out of iMessage. I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. One of the things that I like about iMessage is the games. I was thinking to myself, say, I should play a game with Matt. Oh wait, I can't. Another thing I really like about iMessage, and we talked about the reactions and whatnot, but the send effects, I don't use them very often, but one of the things you can do is a secret message. So when you send the message to somebody, it just shows up as like the sparkly glitter thing, and you can't see what that person sent you, whether it be a picture or a written out message, unless they swipe through it to wipe the sparkly glitteriness away, and then your message appears. And then after a few moments, it covers it back up. And I use that with my wife during the holiday season when we're talking about Christmas gifts for the kids. So if the kid's looking at her phone, when she opens it, the kid's not going to know what I'm talking about Christmas gift wise. And my wife knows this. So if it, you know, birthday time, Christmas time, that's about all I do for send effects, but it's a nice feature. Hmm. RCS doesn't have that, obviously. You know, my wife has an iPhone, my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law, my nephew. I have an iPhone that my daughter uses when she's out and about on her own. My sister, my dad, my cousin, like my brother, my entire family, and probably the person outside of my family that I text the most, Matt, has an iPhone. And being able to have the read receipts, not that Matt has his read receipts turned on, but to have the read receipts, to have all that iMessage functionality is nice. And I feel that if Apple found a way to continue to make iMessage better than RCS, as Matt was saying, like they need to find a way to make iMessage still alluring to people over RCS. And you also need to understand that our iMessage has been out for about a little over a decade now. Mm-hmm. I think it's been out for 11 years now. Back when SMS and MMS was still king, back before RCS was even, you know, a glint in its developer's eye. So you can't fault Apple for coming up with this amazing system that RCS more or less copied. Let's face it.
It's exactly that.
And you can't blame Apple for wanting to keep this system in place that they have because it's so alluring to people. Obviously, it's the right business decision for them to make. And I do think that they will eventually have to move over to RCS. I think it'll become the industry standard. The carriers will be like, we're not going to support SMS or MMS anymore. You're going to have to do RCS. And I know, I don't even have to guess. Apple is working on a way to make iMessage more desirable for people for when that change goes. I wouldn't be surprised if in iOS, not the next version, but the one after that, I would be very surprised if it didn't support RCS.
Yeah. And this creates the ability for them to create, I mean, not necessarily because they're not in the business of creating Android apps, but this is their ability to create an iMessage for Android if they wanted to. Not that they're going to, because again, they still want people to go towards iPhone. But if maybe some way they were giving them a glimpse into that future, or creating some type of subscription-based service for using like an iMessage service that gives them the ability to do things with iPhone users they can't do over RCS, might be down the line somehow. Apple needs to integrate and to develop based on what it is, because iMessage hasn't changed. I mean, it has changed a little bit. We got games, we got stickers, we got Mi emojis. You can all do those. But those aren't selling features. They need to do things. And I think the business standpoint is the direction and the way to go, because a lot of businesses use iPhones because they're more secure than Android phones. Sorry to say that, but like, you know, trying to get it.
BlackBerries back in the day, yeah. And they switched to iPhones because they were more secure.
And the government uses iPhones because it's, you know, it's more secure, you know? And yeah. So that's the other way I could see it happening. And then the other way too is obviously regulatory standards. There's a big thing about end-to-end encryption right now. So I don't know that it's going to be on the government's radar right now, but I could see that down the line where the government's saying you need to start supporting RCS, you know, whether it's the FCC or, you know, Congress and, you know, through laws and stuff like that or whatnot. But, you know, I feel like it's going to eventually happen sooner rather than later. And I think that Apple is working on that contingency and is trying to do it. And again, like they're in the middle of a very intense lawsuit, especially on an appeal. They won the lawsuit, but now the appeal's going on, which kind of goes into our second, unless you have something you want to add, Mr. Carter.
It was actually to talk about all the litigation that Apple has against it, because you were talking about that the government might step in and take some action against Apple as far as messaging or monopoly or adopting certain standards.
If the
United States doesn't do it, then Europe has been known to just force Apple to do things it doesn't want to do on a more consistent basis than anyone else I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to push, like, many, many different countries are trying to push the adoption of a standard USB-C port, you know, they in iPhones. They should. Like, there's no reason why they shouldn't do it. But they haven't done it yet, you know, and, you know, I mean, I could very much see this happening. But again, this problem, like, isn't necessarily a big problem overseas. So I think that it might be more of a United States type thing. But again, we'll see what happens. And then again, there's the lawsuit going on right now between, you know, Epic, and they kind of need a big win. So I could see them adopting early to RCS to kind of blow off some of the publicity that, because I mean, they're taking a lot of heat right now from, you know, a lot of people versus this blue bubbles versus green bubbles. So I could see that adapting too. So
if Apple were to make an Android app for iMessage, but make it on a subscription basis, Tim and Matt, Mr. Carter, how much would you be willing to pay up to be able to have iMessage availability? And it could be your main messaging app. Like, it could still message to Android users if you wanted to, whatever. Like, would you pay $1.99 a month to be able to iMessage, 99 cents a month? Like, would you be willing, is there a threshold that you'd be willing to pay a subscription to use iMessage on Android?
Tim's like, there's no amount of money.
Yeah, no amount of money for me. I mean, I use Google Voice and have used Google Voice for like a decade now or something like that, which is the main messaging app. It's what my phone number is tied into, whatever phone or carrier I go to.
If you could register your phone number with iMessage and use it with the Google app? With the iMessage app.
Yeah. Use it with the
Then you'd have blue bubbles. Then you'd have blue bubbles with everybody.
God, I don't care.
And it would be end to end encryption.
I love that the blue versus green bubble thing is going on, because I find the psychological battle that Apple is playing against people like amazing. Like, they're not bullying people, but they know that kids in school are bullying people, and that's causing other, like, that's really interesting. But like, for me, I don't message enough on one messaging platform to where paying for one messaging platform would make sense. Like, I use Discord, Facebook Messenger, and Google Voice are probably my main messaging apps, in addition to, you know, the other social media messaging that exists with like Twitter and Instagram. So, I don't feel like paying for another one makes sense.
Can I just ask you, so Google Voice, is there a reason you still use Google Voice?
I guess other than it's what I've always used and I don't have to tie it to a particular phone. It's just on whatever device I want it to be on.
If you move your SIM, couldn't it just be on your device?
Well, I don't have to have a SIM with Google Voice. I'd rather not be tied to a carrier, I guess, is the thing. Like, if I, for some reason, go out of the country and my phone service doesn't work there, I can still have my same number and people can still contact me over Google Voice.
You can do that over voice over IP. You just buy a SIM card into the new phone overseas, but that's just curious.
What about you, Tim? Would you pay a subscription fee of like 99 cents a month or $1.99 a month?
Absolutely. I know this would be a zero.
Absolutely 100% no. I would never do that. And at that point, if I really wanted iMessage, I just buy an iPhone. 99 cents a month. Let's see. How long does that take till you $12 a month? Or $12
$12 a year.
Okay. So, just buy an iPhone.
That would be like 10 years.
In 10 years, you would have bought an iPhone.
Why an iPhone? That's so stupid.
You two are an easy demographic for me to just poll. Would you, if Apple said, hey, iMessage coming to Android subscription base, maybe they roll it into like Apple TV and Apple Music and Apple News, and they just like throw that all on Android and like, you pay a couple bucks a month or whatever, and it'd be more than a couple bucks because, you know, Apple Music, but whatever. Like, Apple One available on Android, and it includes iMessage. But it's free Apple users.
If it's so similar to RCS, and that's on Google or coming to Google, and that's going to be free. And if the only thing is, like, games and flourishes to messages, that doesn't sound worth it to me.
Well, I mean, this would happen right now when we don't have RCS on iPhone.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, that'd be their selling point.
Joe, do you have anybody that you talk to that's still on Android?
No. Similar to Matt, most of my messaging is just done through Discord or something like that. I don't really use text messaging much at all.
Wow. This is just disappointing. I'm all for Tim to buy an iPhone, but, you know, I'm trying to get Matt to come to the Blue Bubble side.
Honestly, why aren't we talking about how iOS's default messaging app should just be Discord? Same thing with Google. Discord is fantastic.
Discord slaps. What a good program.
When Discord adds SMS or, I guess, texting support,
we'll
use Discord way like for that.
I'm also Discord on the side with Matt on Bubble. I could care less what color my Bubble is.
Bobby Joseph.
Got you.
All right, so let's shift gears and talk about the second topic, which is the Apple versus Epic developments. So Apple has been in this lawsuit. They won the lawsuit pretty much against Apple. They were supposed to, or excuse me, against Epic. They were supposed to implement I think the ability to create links to different, to like go to a website.
Payments, yeah. Link you outside of payments. The App Store for payment.
So you could go outside of the App Store for payments. I think that's on hold pending appeal. But in the appeal, and just recently, I think it was last week, 35 states, I think it is, have come out and filed briefs. Basically in support of Epic Games. And then the U.S. Department of Justice has also come out and filed a brief in support of Epic as well, which I thought was very, very interesting because it's the Department of Justice, you know, and if they fail, like, I mean, I think this could be opening up for the possibility of a bigger lawsuit if Epic does fail or if they win. I mean, either way, I could see this going in a different direction. So I don't think it's any good news for Apple. Now, they still have a long way to go to do this, but I think this is the huge development and a big win for Epic Games. I hate to give it to them, but, you know, I mean, Microsoft has even come out in support of Epic as well, which I think is good too as well. So, but this could be big.
It's amazing to see Microsoft taking fire against literally every one of their competitors. Like in one battlefield, fighting.
Google is watching this very, very closely because Google is going to be the next one that Epic is going to sue. Like,
pay no attention to me.
We're just offering all of our stuff for free here.
Where? Free.
But you know, if Apple wins or if Apple loses his lawsuit, Google is going to slash their prices immediately.
Well, Google's next. Google's next. If Epic wins this against Apple, it's just a matter of time until Google faces the same music, and it's going to be an automatic.
I don't even think it'll come to that. I think that Google will change before it even gets to a lawsuit.
If they're smart, but I mean, I would not be surprised if the second the court favors and rules in favor of Apple, they immediately are like. And Google too. Like we're going after them right this second. Like we're filing right this second before Google has a chance because they're going to have that much steam and they're going to turn everybody's pitchfork towards Google before Google has a chance. Unless Google already has their press release ready to go.
They probably have a little button that it's covered by a red thing. You push it, it pushes the updates out to all the phones on the App Store. And it's like done. press release goes out, the update goes out to all the platforms, you know.
Whatever happens to Apple is going to happen to Google. Google is going to follow suit, yeah, whether they do it voluntarily or they go to court. One of those two is going to happen. That is a guarantee.
Voluntarily, 100%.
Microsoft is doing this because they're getting ready to launch Windows Phone 11. Okay.
Oh my god.
And it's gonna be, there's gonna be an Epic Games edition of the Windows Phone 11. And
did I tell you guys? I think I put it in the Discord, but I saw somebody with a Microsoft Surface Duo.
Yes.
Zero. Yeah.
Guess what else they had though? They had an iPhone. Bad.
Oh.
They had an iPhone on top of the Surface 2. I just found that very, very, very amazing.
You're never too far away from iMessage when you got multiple phones.
I was in the heart of Microsoft though too. So I had a belief that maybe they worked at Microsoft. But yeah.
Did it look like the new sleeker Surface Duo 2, or was it the...
It was a little thicker. I think it was the older one. I don't think it was the first.
Very clamshell.
Yeah. But I really wanted to ask him, but like I just couldn't go to do that. And I have seen quite a few people with the flip, the Samsung Flip.
The Z Flip?
Fold.
The Z Fold. Yeah.
No, the Z Fold. Fold.
Oh, no. The so Z the
Fold.
Flip is
no,
the
Z Fold. The Z Fold. It's like the half.
The fold, yeah, is this one, and then the clamshell one is the flip.
Yeah, it's, yeah, the one. It's like the one that pops up. Yeah. But that's, I have seen, yeah, there's a guy that goes to Starbucks, and it's literally an older man. But he goes to Starbucks like every day, I think, because every time I go with my wife in the morning with her, I see him either inside with his coffee or he's coming out with his coffee. Hmm. And I've seen him a few times slip his phone into his pocket. But
I'd be more willing to buy a flip than a fold currently. If I had to choose between the two, I'd go with the flip over the fold. And that's mainly because I hate that outer screen on the fold, and I don't like the battery life the fold has.
I guarantee you the first person to buy a Windows phone when it launches here is going to be Roy.
It is not going to be Roy, and I'm going to tell you why.
Number one,
they're probably not going to have live tiles, which I thought was amazing. And number two, they're just not going to have, first of all, I don't think it's going to happen. Number one. Number two, they're not going to have the app support that even Windows Phone had. Let's be serious. No,
I think pie in the sky if everybody but Apple gets what they want. And like Apple is broken open at the end of this, not just, you know, a slash in the price of 30% for the App Store fees, but like somehow the App Store is like broken open and people can either add whatever apps they want or Apple has to put their apps on other ecosystems. I think if something like that happens, Microsoft has been making so many open platform moves that if they really double down on some kind of mobile device, they have Game Pass, which incentivizes it. They're getting Android apps to work on Windows now. I don't know. I would believe that people would be more interested in a Windows phone with how Microsoft looks today than maybe they were in the past. If something happens.
Are we talking about mobile operating system or Android on a Microsoft phone?
Because
I still think that if Microsoft were to make an Android phone, mm-hmm, but skin it like a Windows phone, that it would sell okay. I mean, I still don't think it'd be like a top Android seller, but it would definitely do better than their Windows Mobile has done in the past.
Yeah, I think
it had to do better than the Fire Phone, at least.
I don't know if I ever told you this. I was sitting at the Bothell store one day on break at the coffee store. It was a Seattle's Best at the time. And this guy came in to meet some other guy, and he was selling him his Fire Phones. Like, this had to have been like a Craigslist or an offer up or buyer or something like that. And I just kept thinking to myself, why are you wasting your money on this Fire Phone? Like, the dude was like, oh, you got to check out this feature and this feature. And I'm like, this is the stupidest thing in the world. Like, have you not read the reviews? Like, day one, it performed horribly.
Yeah.
But this guy was so excited to buy a Fire Phone, and I just felt so bad for that guy getting ripped off.
Yeah. I'm wondering if Jeff Bezos still uses a Fire Phone.
He even admitted in an interview that the Fire Phone was a failure.
Yeah, he it's interesting you talk about Jeff Bezos, because he does use Android phones, and he doesn't use iPhones, but he's been hacked so many times. Like, you know, the leaked messages from his divorce got hacked, you know, from his affair that he had, you know, and then there's been other messages that have come out into. It's like somebody who works for a tech company and does not have a secure phone, like.
You hear about all these people on Android that get hacked versus all these people on iOS that don't get hacked. I mean, you don't hear about hacking on iOS nearly as much as you hear about Android. And Android sends out security updates every single month, too. Like, Google's patching security updates every single month. You don't get a patch every month on iOS. I mean, we've gotten them pretty frequently this year, but on a regular basis, you don't get a security update every single month, and people are constantly getting hacked on Android. Like, what is going on over there?
Well, and I think it just goes to the privacy and the security of Apple, because Apple does have strong security measures in place for the App Store, and you don't get phony apps out there that take and run with your data. So, like, again, I hope that the App Store doesn't change because of this lawsuit. I do think that Apple should just come out and slash the prices of their things. 15% is still a great commission rate, you know. Letting people go to a mobile website to do that is great. But I feel like if we have multiple payment systems inside of the App Store, it's going to cause more issues than it's worth. And you know, Apple does review every app, and they catch things, but there are things that they haven't caught, like this year, that have gotten through, you know. But you know, I would be very sad if you know, based on this lawsuit, there's the ability to create to sideload apps on there, you know, or create multiple app stores, you know. Like, I just think that is a failure for the privacy
iPhone. The door for malicious software. It's going to break down the security of iOS. If you have to, I mean, that's one of the things about jailbreaking. You jailbreak your iPhone and you potentially open yourself up to malicious software and, you know, breaking your privacy and possibly getting your iPhone hacked. I mean, it doesn't mean, it's not a guarantee that it's going to happen, but you open yourself up to it because, number one, you're not going to be on the most up-to-date security update from Apple, but you're not going through the rigorous testing of apps that Apple does. And, you know, they don't catch everything. They're still human. But it's still better than just having open source. Anybody can publish whatever they want to an iPhone.
Yeah. Well, based on what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, Matt, I feel like you have to decide. You can either have the metaverse, which is open transmission of data between all platforms, or you can have Apple, the completely closed ecosystem where no one else
wants his ecosystem and the ability to go to the metaverse.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think you'll be able to go to the metaverse inside the Apple ecosystem.
I don't feel like
my Apple
things back in.
Like, Apple is probably their version of the metaverse will probably allow you to go to the Apple campus, watch concerts in the yard there. I don't know what they call that inside the spaceship. They have the green area. But they have a big concert stage down there. Like, I mean, that would be perfect for concerts in the metaverse. So the other thing that I was going to add to before we wrap up too is that you know, Microsoft has come out in support of Apple, or excuse me, of Epic Games versus Apple, and it's interesting because I'm wondering if part of this reason is because of the whole gaming situation, because obviously, you know, they don't want you to be able to submit one app and then have multiple games in there. They want you to submit. So, for example, you know, Microsoft wants to be able to submit an app where you can then download games and play them on there. Apple has said no, each game needs to be submitted separately inside of an app and then basically set up for a review. But I'm wondering if part of the reason why Apple, or excuse me, Microsoft and Apple are fighting so much is because of that part.
Probably like 90% why they're there. I mean, in addition to the changes, the infrastructural changes, I think it'll cause Apple to be forced to make. Microsoft is out here buying like hundreds of billions of dollars worth of companies in the last couple of years to like pump Game Pass and Project X Cloud, which coincidentally one of their main competitors, Apple, won't let inside of their ecosystem without forcing Microsoft to bend to their rules, which doesn't make sense for the kind of platform they're trying to create with X Cloud and Game Pass. So I definitely think you're right. They're out here for Game Pass and X Cloud. And then Epic wants a more open Apple so that they can start harvesting money from all the people who are interested in their version of the metaverse, all the content that they're making money off of that they don't want to give Apple as much of a cut with.
Yeah. It'll definitely be interesting to see what happens between everything. I do hope that at the end of this lawsuit, however it goes, win or lose for Epic, I hope Tim Sweeney gets verified on Twitter.
Why? Why would you even suggest that?
I think he's spent enough money like to get the publicity out there. He should just be verified. Twitter, if you're listening, just verify Tim Sweeney.
Do him a solid. Do it for him.
Just saying.
If he gets verified, he's giving into the man.
I am in support of Apple, but I am also in support of Tim Sweeney getting verified on Twitter.
We need another person to represent Apple on the Gooplycast because we've need to get rid of Matt Evans. Listen, Tim Sweeney and I, it's gotten personal between him and I, okay?
It has, definitely. I will not argue with you on that. But I mean, yeah.
You're either with him or with me. You have the line in the sand has been drawn.
I'm sorry. I don't agree with Tim Sweeney's lawsuit versus Apple, but I do agree that he should be verified on.
I am deleting that as a contact from my phone right now.
The next podcast just won't have any Mats on it. It'll be ridiculous.
Roy Tim, Banister, it's just you and I from now on.
Oh my gosh.
It's the Tim and Roy podcast.
Excellent. We're gonna talk about Game Pass. All day long.
I like Game Pass.
Hey,
I like
how did X-Cloud. Hold on. Time out here. How did Tim get to stay on the podcast? He voted for $0 for iMessage. How does he get to stay on the podcast?
Because he also said his next phone will probably be an iPhone. Like, I can respect that. And that's he said I wouldn't buy a subscription, I would just buy an iPhone. Like, that's points right there. Like, he's like, I'm not going to spend 99 cents a month for 10 years to for the price of an iPhone. I'm going to spend that amount now and get an iPhone.
Well, I got to go change my will tonight. So Roy will no longer be getting my Apple products, and he won't be getting my monitor or my desk or any of my office stuff.
That's fine. I don't want a Tim Sweeney loving desk.
Holy crap. Titanic.
If you're listening, here. Tim, you're dead to me. Not you, Tim. Like, you're awesome. Don't ever change. But Tim Sweeney, don't come at me again like you did before.
It's interesting. He congratulated Sony on their purchase today.
For him.
He probably thinks like, own Halo.
it got 47 comments, 90 retweets, and only 2,000 hearts.
That's what happens when you're not verified.
I see. I'm telling you, there's people who don't know who he is. If you go to Tim Cook, let's see, he's verified. And his last retweet, which was from 2 hours ago, got 116 comments, 274 retweets, and 2.6K hearts. So, and that was in the last 2 hours. Tim Sweeney's tweet was 11 hours ago.
Hoopley should at Tim Sweeney and at Twitter and say, hey, is there anything we could do to get this man verified? What do we need to do? No. We need to have him on the podcast. If we have Tim Sweeney on the podcast, will Twitter verify him? Is that what it'll take?
If Tim Sweeney could be verified, I should get verified.
Why? Because you talked to Tim Sweeney?
No, because he's a douchebag, and I'm not. I'm pretty sure it's against like the community guidelines to verify Tim Sweeney.
We'll have the verification podcast next week, and Tim Sweeney will be on. We'll also have I forget the name of the CEO of Twitter now, but we'll have him on, and maybe we can work something out.
Jack?
No, Jack's no longer there.
Oh,
it's I can't remember who it is now. But
yeah. Well, we'll find out next week.
Next week, join us for how to get Team Sweeney verified on Twitter.
Verifying.
Spoiler alert, you can't.
Hang on, time out. We do this podcast in the metaverse, and then at the end of it, Roy and I will get into a bar fight, and we'll see who wins. That's how the end of the podcast will.
No, let's get Tim Cook and Tim Sweeney to do the bar fight. And the winner wins the lawsuit.
In the metaverse.
That'd be a spicy event.
Yeah, it's funny. We'll
have it set in a kitchen.
So I think we just need to give a little context before we go here about the whole bar fight. But it was Roy that sent out a TikTok about a little boy who asked his mom if he could buy a game on the VR headset. And so he bought a game and she said yes. And then he comes out like 3 or 4 hours later and says, Mom, I don't feel good. I'm sick. And he had been in there playing video games and he bought a game where he goes in and drinks inside of a bar in the virtual reality and then gets into a bar fight. And basically it basically squeals your eyes to make it look like you're drunk. So he literally was VR drunk.
He was virtually drunk. Like, and then he got into bar fights.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who designed that game, but he deserves a prize, like a Nobel prize, not peace prize, obviously, because it's about bar fighting, but like that man is a genius and he's a saint.
Well, it was interesting because the mom says, I hope he never drinks, but she never asked who won the fight.
Oh.
Like, I feel like that was a miss. Like,
not asking the hard hitting.
The question should have been, did you win the fight?
Yeah, I don't care that you got virtually drunk, son. Like, you'll learn your lesson not to get virtually hung over later. But did you kick his ass?
Oh, my God. All right. I think we're wrapping up there.
Anything else, guys?
I'm good.
No.
It is amazing. It is so good. I could be playing that rather than talking about why Tim Sweeney is a douche, but here we are.
Who did you guys start with?
Oh, Rowlet.
And you said, did you say Cyndaquil?
Cyndaquil.
Nice.
Grass starters 100% of the time, always. I like Bulbasaur was my first Pokemon way back in the day when I played blue version, and I always go grass starter because of that. I don't care if Torterra was the worst choice in a starter for Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl because he has such a slow speed. Bet your ass I chose Torterra and then benched him later on in the game.
You benched your starter?
That's
so cursed.
I had to. Have you gone up against Cynthia?
No, I didn't buy the remake. I heard it was bad.
Oh no. Cynthia, all of her Pokemon have perfect stats and IVs.
Yeah, so she's like good because they were like, she was hard and people loved her in original Diamond and Pearl. Let's actually make her actually hard, but make the rest of the game easy.
Weird.
So if you don't like her Garchomp if he gets one dragon dance in, you are done. Like, it doesn't matter who you have on your team. Yeah. So, no, I benched Torterra and gave myself a... I nicknamed all my Pokemon now. I can't remember what the actual is. The flower dude with the Roserade. Like, why can't I remember his name? Benched him for a Roserade.
Nice.
I had no idea we had such Pokemon lovers. That's awesome. I'll have to ask you guys more questions after the show because I'm curious about Arceus. Anyways, we wanted to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the Goopley Cast. And a big thanks to you if you're listening to our podcast from an audio device or virtual speakers in your virtual home. Your support
or
is
in the metaverse.
Or in the metaverse. And we hope that we can provide a metaverse version of this podcast because your support is incredibly encouraging. We appreciate you spending some of your valuable time with us here. Look forward to our replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, owned by Meta, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show. You can join in. And also, for when we share new tech-related content, look forward to our dual review of the Pixel 6 by Matt and Tim. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joseph, we appreciate you so much for watching and listening. We'll catch you next time on The Goopley Cast.
Thanks for listening to The Goopley Cast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Goopley. And remember, you can stream The Goopley Cast on your favorite podcasting app or Goopley.com.